From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Ajit Pai, the chairman of the Federal Communications Committee, or FCC, announced gleefully on Wednesday that Congress had failed to use the Congressional Review Act to restore net neutrality after he led the FCC's vote against it. Mr. Pai released a statement saying, "I'm pleased that a strong bipartisan majority of the U.S. House of Representatives declined to reinstate heavy-handed internet regulation. They did the right thing, especially considering the positive results for American consumers since the adoption of the Restoring Internet Freedom Order." But the Washington Post asserted that the battle for net neutrality is far from over and that several major lawsuits against the FCC's decision are wending their way through the courts. My guest is Craig Aaron, president and CEO of Free Press. He's a leading advocate in the fight to preserve net neutrality. He's the editor of two books, Appeal to Reason, 25 Years of In These Times, and Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. He's been one of our go-to guests on this issue of net neutrality. Welcome back, Craig.
Thanks for having me back, Sonali.
So before we discuss whether or not Ajit Pai's smugness might be premature, let's remind ourselves what what Congress could have done to save net neutrality. The whole sort of Congressional Review Act sounds a little bit wonky. What were you hoping that Congress would have done at the end of last year?
Well, what we were hoping for they would do is vote to overturn the FCC attempts, Ajit Pai's attempts, to get rid of net neutrality. And back in December of 2017, the FCC moved to overturn strong net neutrality rules that had been instituted back in 2015. And there was a huge backlash, very unpopular decision by the Trump-Pai FCC. So unpopular that Republican-controlled Senate actually did vote last spring to overturn that decision. The measure then went before the House, but it did not pass the Republican-controlled House before the end of the year, despite having more than 180 co-sponsors. And if polls are any indication, being a very popular measure, the Republican-controlled House did not let it through. And so that repeal of net neutrality that the FCC carried out in 2017 continues, is still in the books.
So the statement that Ajit Pai made, congratulating himself on Congress's failure to overturn his decision, asserted that already these new rules that he has helped usher in, or rather the unfettering, I should say, of tech companies, has benefited Americans. Do you have any sense of what he's talking about by that?
Well, he's not really talking about anything. He doesn't really have any evidence to suggest that that is true. He tries to point to some investment numbers. Of course, the measures he's trying to use have nothing to do with net neutrality. We know this is an incredibly unpopular decision. We know the phone and cable companies are all on their best behavior when it comes to violating net neutrality because they have lawsuits looming over their heads and because they see just how unpopular this move was and they're hoping it will go away. So there's really nothing in Ajit Pai's statement. He's been giving that same talk forever, trying to make claims that the move he did would be good for the internet. The internet itself strongly disagrees. And all of these big phone and cable companies have indicated, given the opportunity, if they can survive these legal challenges, that they intend to begin discriminating and manipulating people's feeds. So this is a vastly unpopular decision by the Trump administration. Ajit Pai is trying to take a victory lap, although a relatively short one. Shortly afterwards, the FCC shut down and the government shut down. There's really not any there in terms of Ajit Pai's celebration, although he did successfully manage to not be overturned by a Congress controlled by his own party. So I guess in his mind, that's better than the alternative.
Right. So let's actually talk about that. He said, "I'm pleased that a strong bipartisan majority of the U.S. House of Representatives declined to reinstate heavy-handed internet regulation." Now, There were obviously, it was Republicans who controlled the House up until this year. But were there any Democrats that could have supported this that didn't? Could Democrats have made a difference in last year's Congress, given that we know there was some Republican support for net neutrality, right?
Well, only one Republican, a representative named Mike Kaufman, who is no longer in the Congress, did officially co-sponsor the piece of legislation, the Congressional Review Act. So
Republican senators seemed to have more support for it.
A handful of Republican senators crossed over and voted for the bill, including Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, John Kennedy in Louisiana. They got on the correct side of the issue. In the House, though, the secret here is that they didn't allow it to come up for a vote. So our only measure that we know for sure is who agreed to co-sponsor the bill. More than 180 representatives, all but one of them Democrats, co-sponsored this piece of legislation. That's a lot of people on one piece of legislation. There are others who, you know, may or may not have voted for it given the opportunity. And then certainly, you know, I think it's worth looking at the, you know, dozen or so Democrats who didn't sign on. They should have signed on, and they need to be paid attention to, in addition to all of the Republicans who didn't sign on. But the fact is, had this actually been up for a vote, you know, we think it's an incredibly popular measure. All the polls suggest over 80% of Republicans and Democrats support net neutrality. But the Republican leadership wasn't interested in letting that happen, and they threw up roadblocks to this thing even advancing. So, unfortunately, we didn't get that vote. It didn't happen before the end of the year, despite the popularity of net neutrality and the clear unpopularity of the FCC's ruling.
Is the Congressional Review Act pathway to net neutrality at an end now?
Yes, using this very specific measure called the Congressional Review Act, which gives Congress an opportunity to overturn regulations and has some special rules behind it that especially affect the Senate. In other words, most importantly, it can't be filibustered. That is gone. That is over. The CRA, as a way to get to undo what the FCC did, is over. Now
is that because there's just a deadline for, you know, Congress can't come 10 years later and change something that an agency does? They have to do it within a certain timeline?
Using the Congressional Review Act, they have to do it within a certain timeline. So where it changes now is, now that does not mean Congress cannot pass legislation to overturn what the FCC did. And I suspect in the next few weeks, or, you know, within the next couple of months, you will see the House, under a different party's control, move to do just that, to undo what the FCC did. Some of the sort of sausage making gets complicated because in the Senate, even though we saw this bipartisan support, Republican-controlled Senate, all the Democrats and a handful of Republicans voting in support of net neutrality, the filibuster will now come back into play in the Senate. So there's more opportunities for the Mitch McConnells of the world to get in front of and disrupt a good net neutrality bill. But, of course, you also have a change of power in the House. And we know that 160 co-sponsors of the net neutrality CRA were reelected, all of them who were seeking office. Three quarters of the new Democratic members of Congress campaigned on net neutrality, actually made it a campaign issue. So this is a popular issue that we expect the House will take up in short order. And then we'll have a fight in the House. We'll potentially have a fight in the Senate. But certainly the fight in Congress over net neutrality is not over. And we expect it will come back, though it won't technically be a CRA or a Congressional Review Act in the new Congress.
So what about the legal avenues? I mentioned the Washington Post cited several lawsuits against this net neutrality decision. Where are those lawsuits coming from, and do they stand a chance? I mean, I imagine at some point we might have a discussion in front of the Supreme Court on net neutrality.
It's certainly possible. And yes, they do stand a chance, a very good chance, I would say. The net neutrality ruling made by the FCC last year in 2017, December of 2017, the legal challenge to that goes before the Federal Court of Appeals in February. That is a lawsuit that was filed by a number of groups that they've been consolidated, including Free Press,
along with our partners,
my organization, along with Public Knowledge and the Open Technology Institute at New America. We've filed suit. We'll be going to court and arguing alongside 23 state attorneys general, a number of internet companies, including Mozilla, which for whom the case is actually named, Mozilla versus FCC. That is a case that's going to be heard. The judges were just announced this week who are going to hear that case at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. This is the same court that heard the last challenge and supported the FCC when they made good rules. They'll have to review these rules. And there is some important things that have happened in that case, including an industry attempt to throw out that previous ruling failed actually at the Supreme Court, was rejected. Although some members of the court had to recuse themselves, including Brett Kavanaugh, because he had heard the case when he was at the D.C. Circuit when it was reviewed by all the judges. So that is a case that's headed to court. We think we have a very good chance. We do not believe that the FCC did this appropriately, that they ignored public input, they ignored the basic facts behind their decision, and we're quite optimistic about our chances to see this overturned in court. But that won't necessarily be an instant process. The oral arguments will happen, decisions will be written, appeals will be made depending on those decisions. So that's something that could carry on for quite a while. But certainly how the court receives this case, what the outcome is in the short term or the perceptions, will impact how that plays out in Congress as well. So that is the legal front. Becomes very, very important this year. We like our chances on this challenge. The FCC has lost several times in the court. The one time they won is when they did the right thing and made strong net neutrality rules in 2015. So we like our chances. And the results of this case will not only dictate some of the political environment in Congress, but they're also going to determine how other cases proceed, including a case filed after California passed its own net neutrality rules, which were challenged by the federal government, and they are awaiting the results of this case at the FCC to decide whether that case is going to move forward. So there is a lot to play out in the courts. The courts, of course, have become incredibly important in terms of opposing these kind of overreaches by the Trump administration, and with net neutrality, it's no exception.
So if California has to wait before it applies its net neutrality bill and turns it into law, are corporations, tech companies also being sort of forced to wait before they start to make changes? I think you alluded earlier in our conversation that that is happening, that they're sort of standing by.
Well, in terms of the internet service providers, I believe that to be the case. I mean, there have been some evidence of they've changed their terms of service. They've, you know, begun to do some things that don't look really good in terms of throttling and things like that. But the simple fact is that the worst behaviors that these companies are capable of, they are going to proceed very carefully until these cases are resolved. And you know, largely because they get caught, violating net neutrality right now, that is going to be a huge piece of motivation for Congress, among others, to step in. So these companies are absolutely on their best behavior during this time, at least in terms of the obvious kind of violations that we would be able to spot right away.
So when Ajit Pai claims that undoing net neutrality has resulted in such a great scenario right now, that doesn't make much sense if the companies, as you said earlier, are holding back while these lawsuits are playing out. So
that's
it's
exactly
not a great
right.
example of what the future could hold.
Well, no, but Ajit Pai has never been interested in the facts. I mean, this is the thing. They throw around all these claims about investment and other things, but there were, you know, these companies. The sort of secret here is these companies made plenty of money under net neutrality. They're going to make a lot of money if they can get rid of net neutrality. But there's obviously a lot at risk here. And so any of these claims that, you know, Ajit Pai has done these wonderful things, or because on day one, these companies didn't immediately move to discriminate, is not really evidence about whether or not we should have net neutrality. We should have net neutrality because it's what's made the internet as successful as it's been in many ways and ensured that the little guys can compete with the biggest players. That is very much at risk right now, but the fight isn't over.
And I'm wondering, Craig, if you can give us an update on the slightly tangential issue, which is the issue of the fake comments that were made on the FCC's website overwhelmingly in support of repealing net neutrality that the FCC, I understand, was under investigation for. And that story kind of, I feel like, got lost in the chaos of the of Trump's second year in office.
Yes. So the fact is that millions of dubious or fake comments were put into the FCC docket, which had more than 20 million comments, maybe as many, half of them are believed to be fake. There are a number of people who found themselves saying things they never said, including members of Congress, people's deceased relatives showing up in the docket. These kinds of fraudulent activities really designed, I'm afraid, to discredit a public comment system that was overwhelmingly the legitimate comments, the comments people put their names on, the comments filed by groups carefully tracking comments, all overwhelmingly in favor of net neutrality. But there is a business out there now, unfortunately. It's not just on net neutrality, although that's probably the most prominent example of putting in fake comments or, you know, essentially flooding these dockets to drown out the voices of the public. And this is something that unquestionably happened at the FCC. The Ajit Pai FCC has refused to cooperate with investigators. They've refused to really get to the bottom of it. They've been very devious in their responses, very unclear in, you know, what was causing problems on the site when it shut down, things like that. But they haven't cooperated with investigators, including the attorneys general in New York and Washington, D.C. And now it appears to be the Justice Department that have launched investigations into this comment fraud that are underway. And they're looking at all across who put comments in, including my group, Free Press. We certainly did nothing wrong, and we welcome this investigation. But it is something that is ongoing, and hopefully we're going to get some answers here this year on exactly who was trying to manipulate the public comment system. That's not going to come with any help from Ajit Pai, but hopefully it'll be a way to look at just how these corporations and, you know, various shady front groups that they set up, you know, were trying to get away with manipulating these public comments, either to file comments supporting their position or in some cases, you know, just trying to muddy the waters with all kinds of different comments to delegitimize the process. Something that the Ajit Pai FCC was at the time happy to see happen because they didn't want to be responsive to the public comments. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do.
Right. If the fake comments had been vastly aligned against what Ajit Pai wanted, we might have seen a different response. Finally, with the incredibly high turnover among agency heads at the Trump administration, Ajit Pai is sort of, he's an appointed commissioner as the head of the FCC. Does he have, is his position as FCC chair at all vulnerable?
I think it's his job as long as he wants it. He's been a very loyal soldier in the Trump army, unwilling even as somebody at an independent agency to question, you know, the Trump administration's attacks on the press, the Trump administration's comments about mergers under review by his own agency, things like that. So I think that it's Ajit Pai's job as long as he wants it. How long does he want it? That's hard to say because he's about to walk into a much different political situation with the Democrats taking control of the House of Representatives. Suddenly there's oversight, investigation. He and his colleagues are going to be dragged up there much more often and face many more pointed questions than they certainly receive from Republican leadership in the House. So it's going to be interesting. Ajit Pai has shown himself to be someone who's fairly thin-skinned, doesn't like to hear a lot of criticism, and now he's actually going to face more tough questioning, more inquiries from the Democratic House. How long does he want to keep doing this job, I think, is a fair question, though, you know, he's given no indication that he's going anywhere, and he was just joined, his colleague Commissioner Carr was just reappointed, and a second Democrat, a man named Jeffrey Starks, a former FCC official, was just named to the commission. So for the first time in a while, there will be the full complement of five FCC commissioners if and when the government opens again and the FCC can get back to work.
Well, Craig, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us another update as this battle for net neutrality drags on. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
Craig Aaron is president and CEO of Free Press, and we've been talking about what's next in the battle to salvage net neutrality. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.